Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside. Final hour of the Doug Gottlieb Show. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon in for Doug today. We got a big NBA story coming your way in about 20 minutes because there's something that we've seen for years now in the NBA that just ain't what it used to be. But clearly another day with drama involving Aaron Rodgers. It's the gift that keeps on giving, Mike Harmon. Every day is a new story. And I say this and people go, yeah, whatever. No, every day there has been an Aaron Rodgers story since the bombshell dropped the day of the draft when Adam Schefter said doesn't want to go back there. He's talked to people about is something new. It's either from the Packers' perspective or Aaron Rodgers' perspective or Jordan Love or what other teams are saying. Every day, we're going to have a story every single day until he gets traded. Every single day. It's going to be like the Ripken consecutive game streak. Every day, we're going to have an Aaron Rodgers story we're going to talk about from the beginning of the draft until the day he gets traded.
I want to say the best part of the Schefter is that he had to walk it back saying, well, it was really an amalgam of just a bunch of little notes as opposed to an actual story that he just happened to release on draft day. Get out of here with that nonsense. But it got the added some more oxygen to the fire, right? And while we still haven't had anything direct from Aaron Rodgers, it's fun, and it's fun to watch the executives squirm. This is one for all the little guys. Everybody that's the, I hate my boss, I hate the people I work for out there, all of you out there, wherever you're at, you may not be able to shout it out in your workplace. Maybe you're in your car. Maybe you can do it there. But this is the, look at them squirm. Look at them bang. Look at them publicly have to do everything they can to walk back every decision, every word, every glowing critique, right, of what they saw early from Jordan Love. Yeah, he's coming along nice. Go back to some of the verbiage they were using as they got through rookie mini camps a year ago. It's just good theater. And for me, again, I've got a bottle of champagne on ice for if Aaron Rodgers were to leave the division of the NFC North for all my Chicago friends and family. It's a day they've awaited for many, many years. I don't think this is how anybody would have expected it to go. You figure just, you know, old age and you know, broken bodies would be the end. But when you've had 30 years of Favre and Rodgers, well, nothing's normal about that either.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know, welcome to my world where I had Dan Marino from 83 to 99. I had 2000 off, right, just after that. And then I had Tom Brady from 2001 all the way until last year. So I've had two of the top five quarterbacks of all time in my division since I was 12 years old. Yeah. Right? One year I had, I got a break. 1 year I had a break. No. Now we're back at it.
So you really enjoyed that year, though.
It was fun. The Jets were 9-7. We almost made the playoffs. It was a fun year.
That was the year they drafted Lavernius Coles and such, right?
Right. That's when we beat Keyshawn in Tampa Bay, and it was so much fun. Oh, yeah, no, I had a good 2000. Then it was back to, okay, now you're back. Now here's Tom Brady. But before we get to where Aaron Rodgers is going to take his first snap of the 2021 season, let's go over what Matt LaFleur had to say today. Packers head coach having a press conference, and he talked about the Aaron Rodgers situation. And he said, hey, there's no new news here. Boy, we really got to keep Aaron around. Take a listen.
I've got nothing new to update. And we still obviously feel the same way. It's, you know, we want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that. And, you know, we'll continue to work at it each and every day.
You know, here's what they're
sending him any fruit baskets.
Whatever we want. Let's send. What does he need? What does he need?
Flowers.
Let's send him more.
There's
a new tractor. It's a new tractor.
I know. Wait, that was Matt Nover and Blue Chips.
Yeah, that was Blue Chips. Someone's just going to walk up and say, are you Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, well, here's the keys to your new car. It's not my car. No, here it is. Take it. Bye, Aaron. New guy walks away. You know, here's what everybody misses and doesn't get when it comes to Aaron Rodgers is going to stay with the Packers, right? He's going to stay. The Packers aren't going to trade him. He's going to stay. He's going to stay. It's not up to the Packers. It's not up to the Packers. I mean, I heard Colin talking about this morning that, hey, Aaron Rodgers is going to stay. The Packers, all these reasons why the Packers won't trade him. It's not up to the Packers. It's up to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not going to play for the Green Bay Packers if he doesn't want to. And then the Packers are going to have to trade him. For everybody who thinks the Packers have the hammer in this situation, really, every star player has the hammer over a team. It doesn't matter what kind of contract they have. Doesn't matter where they're sitting at. Doesn't matter what money they're making. Star players have all the cachet because all they need to do is say, I'm done playing. I'm not going to do it. And Aaron Rodgers is going to be a guy who is more than happy with sitting at home. He'll be, I'll sit home until you trade me. Goodbye, everybody. Let me know when that trade happens because I'm not going to play. And the Packers are going to sit back and go, well, you can sit home all you want to. We're not going to trade you. And then they're going to trade him. Why? Because everybody always gets traded. And the Packers know we have an asset that we're not getting anything about. And if he's really not going to come play for us, we got to get something for him. So for all of this, all the Packers, it's not up to them. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play, he's not going to play. And do you really think he's going to show up for the first day of training camp going, yep, ready to go, guys? I know the offseason was the offseason, but I'm ready. Everything is done, man. This is great. Oh, give me a football. I'm ready to throw. He's not going to show up. He's played his last down for the Packers because he wants out, and he has all the power, and he's going to sit at home until they trade him to New Orleans, until they trade him to San Francisco, they trade him to Denver, they trade him someplace. I'll tell you where he's going to wind up going in a couple minutes, but he's going to sit home and do that. So to sit here and say, the Packers, why would they trade him? They're going to do... It's not up to them. It's up to Aaron Rodgers. And when a guy doesn't want to play there, guy gets traded. James Harden was done playing with the Houston Rockets. What happened? 2 days later, he was a Net. Any star who is done playing for their team, they're going to be on to another team. It may not always be the team of their choice, but they're going to be somewhere else. This is Aaron Rodgers who owns all of the leverage here in this situation. The Packers have none of it, and they kind of know that. Well, we really want to make it work. They know, because they would be more hardline stance. Hey, you know what? We don't talk about this guy. This is not, we're going forward with the players we have here. We're not talking to Aaron Rodgers. No, they know that Rodgers has everything on his side. He has all the leverage.
Well, I think it would be fun to watch it play out, right? Again, we like good theater here. You and I on our show here, weeknights on Fox Sports Radio, and certainly we know Doug does as well, right? Movie references, so why not get some popcorn and watch it play out, right? A lot of begging, a lot of wishing, a lot of hoping. Look, I'd love to see the Packers just try to drag it out and just say, all right, how much did you really like Jeopardy? Or to get him to do a James Harden, to where he actually sits behind the podium and says, you know what, I can't win with these guys. And I don't think he'd be talking about his teammates in this case. I think he'd be pointing his finger on down the road and going, hey, you kicked a field goal and you picked this other guy. And we could have done some magnificent things. And in the end, look, we've seen all the dissection of the draft picks, right? I think the draft picks for the Packers have been put up against any quarterback that started more than two seasons with a National Football League team at this point. How did it do against this guy? Can't do it against the Jets because you really didn't have many guys have two full seasons at the helm. Even Sam Darnold doesn't really count because he saw ghosts and he had mono, and that kind of limited, you know, at least one of those seasons. But it's just great fodder to watch this play out and to see if the Packers stand resolute in not wanting to trade, right? Because we were getting ready to watch that happen with another team until legal issues put Deshaun Watson in this whole other world. I'm trying to make sense of what's going on with the lawyers today. I've read two articles, and I really don't come to a conclusion otherwise, other than that these guys all hate each other. And they're trying to play this in public. And
yes,
not a whole lot of it's making sense. But
yes, there you go. You just summed up that situation entirely. You just summed up the situation very, very well, buddy. Nice job.
But the Texans were going to have the same situation, right? Quarterback that didn't want to be there anymore. Mad that they got rid of his top guy. Bill O'Brien wasn't there to, you know, be the great communicator and protector or whatever you wanted to ascribe to him. Trader Bill is not there to be his coach. So he wanted out. And then, of course, obviously all the allegations came forward. So that's not even on the table right now. So now we're watching with Aaron Rodgers, and it's a million stories through back channels eventually someone's going to have to hit a podium from his side, whether he empowers a teammate or maybe he has. And that's why we've seen the endless parade of guys that have played for the Packers since 2005 across TV and radio these last 2 weeks.
It is the Doug Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith and Mike Harmon in for Doug. So if that's the case with Aaron Rodgers, he's going to sit home till they trade him. Where is he going to wind up going? Now, I'm going to make one person at Fox Sports Radio extremely happy with this, and her dad, who happens to be an NFL GM, very happy.
Yeah, okay.
But I want you to turn the radio down when I get to the point of why. Okay, that's probably going to help. Where's Aaron Rodgers going to end up this fall? He will take his first snap of the 2021 season on Monday Night Football for the Raiders against the Ravens.
Wow, right? Look at you.
You have very few teams that can stay in the Aaron Rodgers race for a long time. You saw many teams move on, right? Anybody who drafted a quarterback this year were out of the Aaron Rodgers business. But there's a few teams that can hang in there because of their situations. Like the Broncos, who went out and said, listen, hey, here's a big offer for Aaron Rodgers. The Packers said, no, thank you. But the Broncos are sitting back and waiting because they have their two quarterbacks that they don't like either of them. They can sit back and wait until Rodgers becomes available. The Dolphins can offer Tua Tagovailoa in return and say, hey, come here to South Beach. We have the draft picks next year. And that's one team. But the team that's going to wind up getting him is going to be the Raiders. And the reason for the Raiders, there's two main reasons. Number one, the Packers. This is where Lee Mayock needs to turn the radio down. Number one, I get that it is a destination for the for Aaron Rodgers. He wants to go to the Raiders. But if you're Green Bay and you say, well, we got to trade him someplace, and the Raiders are a team that clearly would want him, and clearly they don't want him to go to the division. Don't want him to go to the Broncos. So they will overpay to get him. And so he'll go to the Raiders. If the Packers say, what team do we trade him to where we think he can do the least amount of damage? It's the Raiders. Because historically, the Raiders can't get out of their own way, right? It's been very difficult. Do you want to trade him to Denver where they have all sorts of huge offensive weapons? Do you want to trade him to Miami where that is? Or the Raiders where, let's see if you can make it work. Let's see how things go when you get to your team. Even though it's preferred destination, hey, the Raiders have had a tough time getting out of their own way. So, hey, let's wind up trading him there. And that's going to be the destination for them. And the reason that the Packers work with the Raiders is because the Raiders can give everything the Packers want in return. We can give the picks, we can give you players, and we can give you the quarterback that you need to sort of get by. Because if Jordan Love isn't ready, the Packers went all in on this guy. And if you stink, and the Packers without Aaron Rodgers this year playing Jordan Love, you're going to pick first in the NFL draft. That's great for you, and you can restart things, but all those guys in Green Bay, they're all going to be out, and they all want to keep their jobs. So the one thing the Raiders can offer back is a quarterback who is good enough to go play right away. And with a team with some offensive weapons, maybe all isn't lost, because Derek Carr is pretty good. Yes, he only likes to throw the football 3 yards down the field at a time, but that's okay. Derek Carr has been pretty good. The Raiders' offense was pretty good last year. But if you can replace Derek Carr with Aaron Rodgers, you have to go do that. But the thing about Derek Carr is that he's the one guy. No other team can offer a quarterback. No other team can offer a quarterback saying, hey, we can give it kind of a soft landing. And he's a throw-in. All right, because clearly you're not going to keep Derek Carr if you're getting Aaron Rodgers. So that's a throw-in. So the Packers can say, we want all of these guys, and we want Derek Carr as a throw-in. Just like Kevin Costner in Draft Day and David Putney, because I bleeping feel like it. And the Raiders would say, okay. So they have clearly...
You just made the starting quarterback of an NFL team, David bleeping Putney. That's they where have- the offensive stuff to the Raider fans...
They have
to,
what the
and to
have.
Lee just happened. It wasn't that he could end up there. It was, you said, well, because if it doesn't happen, you just really gave everybody what you think of Derek Carr.
Because I bleep and
you just
feel like it.
You just kind of submarine that whole thing. It's like, look, Lofty, hey, the trade, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, it's a throw-in because...
Well, no, but I mean, it's an easy, you know, look, he's more than that, but there's no way they're going to go forward with him if they get Aaron Rodgers.
Of course
so,
not.
Hey, so he's just part of the package. It's like an add-in. It's like, we're getting these players and these picks, and then you're also going to give us Derek Carr. Okay, all right, that's what we'll do. And the Raiders don't want him in the division. They don't want to sit here and say, okay, now we're looking up at Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. They will go out and get him. Aaron Rodgers wants to be there. John Gruden will foam at the mouth to coach Aaron Rodgers, and suddenly look at the Raiders and look at what they're going to do on paper with all their offensive weapons. They got a really good running game. They got a couple of really good wide receivers. I mean, this is going to be some kind of show when the Raiders get him, but that's where he's going to play week one of the NFL season.
See, I think it'll make for good theater, especially if we can broker a TV deal where weekly we get Gruden and Rodgers talking to each other. Because if they're not on the same page, think about the follow-up. Cooling off period is one thing, but as soon as the lights go, what were you thinking about with this throw right here? Come on. I mean, the anger that could potentially start to flow there would just be great and fantastic. But I really think the one thing they have to compete with is John Elway is going to do whatever he can. I know he's not technically the GM anymore, but his name's on the books. Come on now. He's got to get one more legend to come in there. Got his run with Peyton Manning, and this team with the right signal caller is set up to at least be a challenger. Yeah, he pulls out all the stops. Hey, here's an extra place to go skiing. Here's, you know, we know you like Colorado, right? Because isn't his betrothed from there?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, you know, you start adding it up. Like, look at, we've already researched the private schools for you. I mean, all of those things. Sell.
But it will tell you that the Packers are ready to tank if they take a package like that from the Broncos. Hey, we're going to tank this year and draft Sam Howell or Keaton Slovis with the first overall pick. But clearly, you know, that's what they can offer. Like the Broncos say, hey, we'll give you Teddy Bridge. Hello. They hung up on me. Hey, we'll give you Drew Lock and Teddy. Hello. Oh, they hung up on me again. I mean, nobody else has that. I mean, getting Tua would be kind of interesting. And then you can go in with Tua and Jordan Love and see kind of what you have. But
which
Carr
guy do you like
enough?
Less?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
because you've gone after both of those guys. And they hate, like, you use the word hate a lot. They don't like
No, they hate
Tua.
Now, wait a minute.
And the Packers realize that Jordan Love's a fan. We don't know what Jordan Love is.
No. I like Tua way more than I like Jordan Love. I mean, Tua is a guy that just needs to throw the football and not think about, I don't want to throw a pick on this play, so I'm only going to hand the ball to my tight end. No. He just needs to be able to let it go a little bit, and he'll be fine. But, I mean, no, but that's what it is. It's a... You can get that quarterback and suddenly things will still be okay. And you can run the offense how you want to do it. You can run that sledgehammer offense the way, and you can take things out of the quarterback's hand, and Derek Carr can be like an elite game manager type. You can do exactly what you want. He's the guy that's going to tip the scales, and that's why the Raiders will wind up getting him. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Doug Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Mike Harmon in for Doug today. We got more NFL on the way, but coming up next, something that's been so great in the NBA for so long, and now what is it really? That's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Doug Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Mike Harmon. Suddenly now I'm 9 years old and I'm listening on an AM, FM, you know, digital clock radio. Ooh, Rapture's on. Let me listen. Oh, let me get the let me get the station in. Oh, it's crackly. Oh, I got it. Perfect. Don't move. Let me listen to the song. Let me listen. I'm good. I think Johnny Ramos just takes his own personal favorite songs and plays them on the show.
You say that like it's a bad idea.
I really think that's what Johnny Ramos does. Listen, I'm just bringing my own Spotify. I got my own playlist. I'm just going to play it because I want to hear these songs. That's all. No,
John, you
want
to give folks a little thing behind the scene for you there, or what?
Whether or not I play the songs I like?
You want to confirm that?
I can't confirm or deny that. How's that?
Okay. Now, do you think, let me just add, maybe getting too deep on this. Do you think because I said Aaron Rodgers is going to play for the Raiders this season that the Rapture is coming? Is that what you're thinking?
Wow, that's a far stretch to go to the Rapture for that, but sure, if you want to say that, I'll run with it. I mean, the Rapture, that's a pretty big thing there, Jason.
The Rapture's coming.
That means, like, everyone leaves the world, right? Kind of
Shanahan predicted that.
Oh, he did.
I mean, come on.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well,
listen, a couple of weeks off at least.
Jets can win the Super Bowl if that happens, right? I mean, the Knicks can win the NBA title if that happens.
Yeah. Sure. The last act on Earth. They're cutting down the nets. And then there's a what is that?
There goes everybody. Goodbye.
And there's,
there
and there's the Thanos snap to the world as we know it.
You see them all leave. They just start playing One Shining Moment. Just play it. Just play One Shining Moment. As well,
why, did Julius Randle turn to ash? What's going on?
Jeez.
Hey, Mr. Thibodeau, I don't want to go. I don't want to go, Mr. Thibodeau. Stay here. Stay. And then Thibodeau has to walk up to Leon Rose and say, I lost the kid. Oh, we lost more than that, Tom. Come with us. Speaking of the NBA, it's going to be a different experience watching the playoffs because yesterday we found out Chris Webber now no longer on NBA on TNT's playoff coverage. Guy's been out there for 13 years. Marv Albert's partner and, always seemed to make news whether he was in the studio or doing a game. And, this kind of piggybacks on the Shaq thing from a couple of days ago where he said that, Zach Randolph was playing great power forward for the Knicks this year. Oh, sorry, I meant Julius Randle.
And
it's a thing where for the longest time inside the NBA, NBA on TNT, everything they did pregame, between games, postgame, it was the best studio show in the world. I mean, it was what everybody wanted to be. With Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley and you add Shaq and Kenny Smith and the way they wove everything in, it was absolutely must watch. But I get the feeling now, I watch the shows now, and it kind of reminds me of when a sitcom is near the end of a really long run, like Cheers or Friends, where the last couple of years really isn't that funny, but people are laughing just because they're so comfortable with the characters, you know the characters so well. Oh, even though it's really not that funny, you still kind of laugh. And I feel like that's kind of inside the NBA and NBA on TNT. They're just kind of showing up now. Now granted, Charles Barkley's never been a guy to have a big work ethic, and, Shaq coming off, the same kind of deal. But are these guys really doing the same thing that they had done for a long time, or are they just kind of showing up and just shooting the breeze on basketball now? Is there anything going on where they're, hey, we're talking to players still, we're doing X, Y, and Z, or are they just showing up and putting in the most minimal amount effort possible? Because I could show you a show from just 2 years ago, and you would go, oh my goodness, that's awesome. And then you watch what we've been seeing over the past year, and they're just kind of showing up. Now, maybe part of it is a bit of with COVID, and you don't know how everybody is kind of reacting to it, and certainly the set is a little bit colder when you have the distance, and it's a little more harder. But still, the stuff that they do, I watch and I go, they're just kind of just hanging out and just like talking with each other and kind of a grab ass in a bit, and I'm like, it's not really the same show. This is not the groundbreaking show that every year wins Emmys because it was that good. It's kind of existing on its reputation now, and it's not nearly the same. And I always say, listen, if you're done talking, let somebody else talk. Like if you're done doing it, let somebody else do it, because I watch the show now, and I watch on the weekends, and I watch during the week, and before we come on, I'll watch it all the time because we're coming in. We come on the air at night, usually you and I at night, following the early games, and I get the breakdown of what they're saying, and it's just kind of there. For a show that's been so good for so long, and we're going to see it over the course of the playoffs, you're going to see it's just where they're showing up and they're mailing in the show. And it's just, okay, we're just going to show up and talk, and then we're going to fill time, and then we're going to go back out to a game or finish the show and go to commercial. That's kind of what inside the NBA and NBA and TNT has been now for quite a while. There's a little bit of a rut, and then there's, okay, this has been a couple of years now where this has been the show.
Yeah, it's just a question of the familiarity. You cited the Zach Randolph thing. And sometimes you don't know if it's a wink and a nod. Normally you pause and then eventually, you break the fourth wall and you smile at the camera and go, you caught that, right? It's like it's a new era or something, or a producer is going to get in your head to say, hey, how about you clean that one up and make a joke in it as you flow. And, we talked about it on our show in the evening a little bit, the departure, of Ellen DeGeneres from her talk show, and she issued the statement saying it wasn't a challenge anymore. She also had a lot of other stuff start to circle about as to what was on screen versus real and imagined. And look, wherever you fall on that, the point is during COVID and everything else, that was swirling as to how much longer would they take the show from her altogether, or would she get to go out on her own terms or somewhere in between, and whatever it is. But saying, hey, it wasn't a challenge anymore, kind of disrespectful for all the people that hustle to get your show on air. So John Ramos, Ryan Bershinger, Deb Carson, we love you. And so to all of that, just making sure you acknowledge the efforts that others have and trying to help you look good. And I think what you get to is there is that, all right, we've been doing this. It's a well-oiled machine. You know the players, you know the coaches, and maybe that shifts a bit. But also it's the, all right, if we work really hard, what are the ratings and what do we get in terms of attention? Say, I don't know, let's just say, to put a number on it, just say 10. Appropriate of nothing, 10. And then we do a half-ass job, and we show up 10 minutes before we start, and we find out it's a 10. How incentivized are you to change up what you're doing if there's no real balanced shift in terms of the metrics? Yeah, maybe a couple of folks will say, hey, you're just not trying anymore. But overall, you're still pretty well received. People like you cracking on each other and Ernie shaking his head disapprovingly, and you move on, right? Unfortunately for you and I also, a lot of the times that they're in the middle of their hijinks, it's muted because we're on air. Or talking to each other about something that's breaking and wanting to figure out how we're going to approach it or whatever else. So I've got subtitles and I'm missing every third word. So I have no idea I'm not even in on the joke half the time. So, you know, for me, it's, you know, trying to figure it out, and you get to maybe get it to its own natural course. But back to the Weber thing, perhaps it wasn't moving the needle. Perhaps him opting out of the NCAA tournament was something they weren't terribly thrilled about. And maybe he's a guy that doesn't rate in the Q rating as highly as the others in terms of being able to not be on your A game as a new generation of basketball fans say, this guy played where?
No, well, first of all, I want to say, I think that's a great title for your autobiography. Mike Harmon, I'm not in on the joke. I think that's a great title. That's a great title for an autobiography. You got to stick with that.
That's not bad. I'll stake claim to that.
You got to stick. No, but it's just an overall quality. It's like a sitcom. Hey, at the end of a run for a sitcom, are the ratings still pretty good? Sure they are, right? But you're kind of existing on just what you've done, and there's a difference in putting out something that's quality and something that, well, people are just consuming because they've always had to, and they've always done it, and it's become a habit. But I've seen it the last couple of years. It's just a different thing. It's a different kind of show. It's a different kind of feel. And for the longest time, it was the gold standard. All the other studio shows, as good as all the other studio shows were every year, it's like, this is the best. And yeah, maybe it's just natural that after so many years, it's okay, we're kind of done. But still, you would think that when, you know, to have some kind of pride in what you're doing, that, okay, I want to make sure this continues to be something great. You know, and that's always been the guys that stay around forever are the ones who stay into it, that are making phone calls and talking to different teams and talking to GMs and doing all that stuff. You know, that's kind of just what you would normally do, because in any business, you can see the quality of something suffer. And there's a difference between something that is successful versus something where you see a different quality. Just because something is successful doesn't mean it still is good. You know, and you see that all over the place in radio and television, but that's just part of where we're at right now, where, okay, hey, guess what? People are saying things on Twitter about you, so it must be good. What we did on TV right there must be really, really good. Or is it just people on Twitter saying, oh my God, that was ridiculously bad? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They're talking about us on Twitter, so everything is good. We have some moments. I see Chris Webber trending. I see Shaq trending because he called Julius Randle Zach Randolph. I mean, really? I mean, I get that that's kind of funny. Oh, look at that. We got attention. But, I mean, come on, really. Dude just said Julius Randle. Said Zach Randolph instead of Julius Randle. I mean, if he did that by mistake, that's rough. If he did that on purpose, what does does that tell you where they're going for? Hey, we're just going to try to say stuff to grab attention. I'm gonna call Julius Randle, Zach Randolph, and see what happens.
Campbell's a good strategy.
Yeah, I'm going to be able to say, because then he said hi to him after. Hey, what's up, Z-Bo? Like maybe that was something he decided. I'm going to do this on purpose. I can say hi to Z-Bo, and we move on.
He won somebody a bet. I bet you I can get him to just say the name Zach Randolph, and he got a text at the commercial break. Like, remember how we used to mess with Ryan Hollins when he'd be doing a TV spot? It's like, all right, rub your eyebrow. Yeah. Adjust your tie.
Shaq got a text from James Worthy. I bet you can't get Zach Randolph's name into the next segment. I got you, man. I got you. Watch this. You know, it's suddenly, hey, Zach Randolph.
It could be that simple.
I bet you can't get his name in. The secret word is Zach Randolph. Let's see if Shaq can get that name in. Tick, 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 tick.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
You know, and just for a second, let's understand that the most ridiculous story of the week has been Bob Baffert trying to explain why Medina Spirit tested positive for a PED. Remember when he said right after his interview, we did all the rounds with Dan Patrick, he was everywhere, and he said, well, the groomer had a cough, and he went to the bathroom on some hay that Medina Spirit ate, and that's how he got the steroid inside him. And it was, are you kidding me? That's like a 14-year-old's excuse. It's something my daughter would make up. Let's just say that somebody went to the bathroom and the horse ate the hay. Great, let's use that. Because then, oh, by the way, very quietly, you know, a day or so ago, it was, oh, he was treated with something by a vet, and that's how the steroid actually got into his system.
Here's the other thing, though. I would have been going on the attack of how minuscule the picogram is. It's 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram, folks. Go watch Scarface and imagine that, you know, just a gram of all of that. You know what a gram is? It's small. 1/1,000,000,000th of that. Not a mountain. 1/1,000,000,000th of that is what he tested positive for. But yeah, all the dancing and running around was a really bad look. But as we know, names play, and people know who Bob Baffert is. And the class action lawsuit, as I said, is starting to get filed. And someone actually won one that was longstanding and got a $20,000 payout for a doping incident in a race. So perhaps there will be something to roll through here. It is going to be an interesting to watch. Either way, they're not taking my bag because I won on that bet.
The picogram, just to put it in proper perspective, is 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram.
That's what I said, yeah.
It's 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram.
1/1,000,000,000th.
Yes, 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram. And a gram is 1/1,000,000,000th of a kilogram.
So, I mean, it's a drop of water in the, like, you know, you take out a little pipette and you drop one more drop of water to an ocean. That's basically what we're talking about.
No, that doesn't work. This is a better analogy. Think of how in Ant-Man and the Wasp, as Ant-Man kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller in the quantum realm, that's how small a picogram is. Just keeps getting smaller and smaller. Amoebas are standing over him. Oh, my goodness. He just keeps getting small. That's what a picogram is.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing in this, is just to remember what the levels are that we're talking about at horse testing positive for. It's not like, hey, they went and they took out some massive-ass syringe and just jammed all this stuff into them. No, it's trace amounts, but it's enough to trigger the positive test.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, Jason Smith, Mike Harmon in for Doug Gottlieb. Coming up next, it is the press. Antonio Brown in hot water again. We got the latest for you right here on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio. I'm back in the club in New York. Hey, let's go out tonight, man. It's cool.
I just remember this being used on a Chicago, I think it was a Chicago radio station, as I'm trying to get my dates proper, when the horse named Swale died.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This would have been all the way back in 1984. Won the Kentucky Derby in Belmont and died 8 days after the Belmont. And on a Chicago radio station, while talking about the race, they kept playing this in the background.
Wow.
It was the strangest.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Just you have weird connections to a song.
Yeah.
And that is it right there.
Yeah. I just thought it was, hey, you know, Johnny Ramos is going to 80s night tonight somewhere, but apparently it's going to be a little bit
more
than
I think
that.
You brought up the 1/1,000,000,000th of something, and, you know, didn't you bring up Scarface or something like that?
I did, because the way this has been described all week about failing the drug test was like you sit behind a mountain of blow as opposed to 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram of a substance that caused the positive test.
Yeah, so the song was indicative of the thought patterns.
It's a callback, as it were.
First you get the Derby, then you get the Preakness, then you get the Belmont. Let's hit the press.
The press.
All right, Deb Carson, what do you have for us in the press right now?
All right, we'll start from Pimlico. Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirits passed pre-race testing and has reportedly been cleared to run in Saturday's Preakness Stakes. 9-3 favorite, and it will start from the number 3 post in the 10-horse field. In a similar story, or in a related story, I should say, attorneys for 4 Bettors have filed a class action lawsuit against both trainer Bob Baffert and the owners of the Derby winner, Medina Spirit. The Bettors are suing for racketeering and fraud, alleging that Medina Spirit's win in the Derby constituted illegal gambling. Of course, the horse tested positive for betamethasone. Anyone who bet on Medina Spirit would still get to keep their winnings. But unfortunately, if the second sample comes back positive as well, those who bet on Mandaloon would not get any money.
I don't fool with no horses, boy.
I'll tell you, Medina Spirit's going to win the Preakness because they kind of has to, right? You got to keep the story going. I mean, 9-3 favorites, pretty severe.
Yeah.
And keep this story that gets another 2 weeks out of this story.
Yep.
Oh, I agree. Look, go wire to wire, just like in the Kentucky Derby. Keeping an eye on that.
Yep,
sure.
Yep. You brought up Swale. All right, DC, what's next?
All right, the Nets' Big 3 will reportedly all play tomorrow night against the Bulls. This would just be the 8th time this season that Durant, Irving, and Harden would take the court at the same time in the same game.
9-8.
Let me tell you this.
Oh, I haven't heard that in forever.
That's a count of
back. Awesome.
I said total number of games these three are going to play their entire time with the Nets is going to be less than 50. I am feeling so comfortable at this right now because they're going to lose in the second round of the playoffs. I'm going to be at like 15, and it's going to be, we got to break it up. We can't do this next year. It's not going to work. Oh, this is awesome. I'm feeling so good. I'm like playing with free money right now on this prediction.
Yeah, no, this goes well past Christmas time in your world if the second round exit begins. But look, they've been able to dominate even with one guy playing. It's a 6-man tag match, and they just, you want to take a couple nights off? Yeah, you can coach in a suit. That's the way it's worked thus far. I think they still make a run to the conference finals.
I'm happy as hell.
Exactly.
All right, moving to the NFL, Tom Brady said he had, quote, pretty serious, end quote, knee surgery this offseason, the first surgery he's had in 12 years.
I don't know if any, but no one was covering this, and this didn't get leaked. I want people to know I had knee surgery. I'm really coming back now. Look, Brady is someone who is slowly seeing the test of time and the ravages of time get on him. He was able to keep it at bay last year with the Bucks, and it worked out. He's able to play extremely well at the end of the year when suddenly Bruce Arians says, hey, why don't we just do what Tom likes? And the last 4 weeks of the season, hey, that worked out great. It's going to be a different story for Brady this year. Trying to keep it going. Everybody's a year older. They didn't get better. They didn't add anybody. They kept the band together. They're going to get caught by a lot of teams.
Anything else?
Second pair of recovery pajamas. That's all I have to say.
All right. And finally, guys, according to Don Cheadle, news scoop here, Michael Jordan will be making an appearance in Space Jam 2.
Oh,
yeah. He's got to have him save the movie.
Yeah, well, wow.
LeBron can't carry a movie. Boom!
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
So this is kind of like Captain Marvel. They make it the Marvels now. We don't want Brie Larson to be the one, so that's how it's going to go.
Yeah, you're not a fan. I know that.
Twitter and I'm out of Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.